Let's go to the book of 2 Peter in your Bible. That's in the New Testament. It's towards the back of the Bible. If you find the book of Hebrews, just go a couple books to the right. And if you find the book of Revelation, go a couple books to your left. 2 Peter chapter 1 is where we're going to have our scripture reading here for this morning. 2 Peter chapter 1, and I'm going to start at verse 16. If you have your place in your Bible, let me hear you say amen. Amen. Wonderful. I hear pages turning. Everyone has their Bibles. Let's stand while God's Word is being read here this morning. God's Word says this: "We did not follow cleverly invented stories when we told you about the power and the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, but we were eyewitnesses of His majesty. For He received honor and glory from God the Father when the voice came to Him from the majestic glory, saying, 'This is My Son, whom I love. With Him I am well pleased.' We ourselves heard this voice that came from heaven when we were with Him on the sacred mountain. And we have heard the word of the prophets made more certain, and you will do well to pay attention to it, as to a light shining in a dark place, until the day dawns and the morning star rises in your hearts." The next two verses, real key. "Above all, you must understand that no prophecy of Scripture came about from the prophet's own interpretation. For prophecy never had its origin in the will of man, but men spoke from God as they were carried along by the Holy Spirit." Let's go to God in prayer. Father, as You have unveiled Your Word here to us this morning through Your Scriptures, Father, we just ask, Lord, that You open our hearts to the message that You want us all to hear this morning. Father, You have appointed me as Your spokesperson, and I hide behind the cross and just ask that everything that I say here this morning, Lord, will not only be theologically correct, but Lord, it will glorify Your name, that Your name will be the name above all names, Lord. Father, do that. Give us that power this morning, Lord, that opens the Scripture to us, that we can more clearly see You in these words. And we ask this in the name of Jesus. Amen. You may be seated. Well, just when you think you've seen it all, I'm going to do something a little different this morning. We got the old easel out here. This is a poor man's PowerPoint, that's right. We got the easel. Two brand new magic markers. And let me warn you, it takes me longer to write than what it does to talk. We're going to have like a little Sunday school message here this morning. I got my easel. I got my black magic markers. And hopefully you can sit where you can see the board. Okay. And I'm going to draw up here five boxes. You have five boxes in your bulletin this morning, don't you? You have five boxes in your bulletin, and I'm going to try to evenly space this five ways. I don't know how good I'll be, but that looks like one section. That looks like two, three, four, and five is a little crunched up. So now I'm going to write up here what you have in your bulletin. Back in November of last year, we decided to learn a little bit more about the Holy Spirit. We started by saying this, that Christians are Trinitarians. We believe in three persons and one God. We believe in the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. We know a lot about the Father, and we probably know a whole lot about the Son, Jesus Christ. But most of us agreed, including myself, that we probably didn't know as much about the Holy Spirit as what we needed to know. So we start doing a study on the third person of the Trinity, the Holy Spirit. So what I'm going to do here this morning is write a little bit up here. And what you write in your boxes on your, let me move this a little bit like this. What you write in your boxes, in your bulletin, is strictly up to you. So you fill in the blanks that you want to fill in. But we have five steps here, numbered 1 through 5. And we're going to go through each one of these and talk about how the Holy Spirit deals and intersects in our lives. We're going to start with step number 3. Step number 3 is our salvation. Our salvation. Our salvation. What did we say about the Holy Spirit's role in our salvation? Actually a couple months ago. We said this, and you'll notice that in your bulletin you have some scripture verses. And as I put the points up here, the scripture verses that apply to the points are listed there, so you can kind of fill them in if you want. We said this, the Holy Spirit convicts the world of guilt, convicts of guilt. That would have been you and I when we were unbelievers. We were of the world at one point in time. The Holy Spirit convicted us of our sin, and we find that in the Gospel of John, chapter 16, verse 8, is where we find that. The Holy Spirit convicted us of our sin. We also said this, point number B, that He gave us a rebirth. The Holy Spirit gave us a rebirth. Titus, chapter 3, verse 5. He washed us. He cleansed us. He made us whole again. The Holy Spirit convicted us of our guilt. He gave us a rebirth, because remember in John chapter 3, verse 3, Jesus told Nicodemus, you must be born again. You must be born again. You must be born of the water and of the Spirit. Those are the two things that the Holy Spirit has to do with our salvation, but I have a couple more that I want to put down there, and we'll put point number C over here. And we get this from John chapter 1, verse 13. And it's not of a husband's will. Husband's will. And it's not of a human decision. D-E-C-I-S-I-O-N. And it's not of our heritage that we get saved, says John in his Gospel, chapter 1, verse 12. Also in Romans 9:16 says pretty much the same thing. It says this, it is not based on man's desire or his effort. So we know that our salvation, as far as the Holy Spirit is concerned, He convicts us of guilt, He gave us a rebirth, and it wasn't something that we did. It's not a husband's will, not a human's decision, not our heritage, and certainly not man's desire or effort. So that's the salvation part of what the Holy Spirit has done in our lives. Okay, now here we are, we're saved, and we start this journey, this walk as a Christian, and we're going to call the next step, step number 4, sanctification. Sanctification. We talked a lot about this over the last couple months. And this is also something that the Holy Spirit does in our lives. He sanctifies us. And the role of sanctification is to make you and I more like who? Like Jesus Christ. He wants us to become more like Jesus Christ. We have to be an effective witness out there in the world. So what does it say about sanctification? Well, first of all, 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 19 and 20 says this, that the Holy Spirit dwells within us. We are the temple of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit, if you are a believer, the Holy Spirit is dwelling within you. And that helps our sanctification process. Over the last couple weeks, from Galatians chapter 5, verse 16, it says this, that we need to walk by the Spirit. We need to walk by that Spirit that is dwelling within us. And we said that the Holy Spirit within us is kind of like our GPS system. We talked about that about a month ago. Our GPS, the Holy Spirit is God's providing Spirit within us that is directing us and taking us on this course of becoming more Christ-like. Back earlier in October, we said that this, that the Holy Spirit may use hardships. He may use hardships in our lives to bring us more sanctified, more in line with Jesus Christ. And that comes from Hebrews chapter 12, verse 11, that he's going to put hardships in our lives, that this Christian walk of ours is not going to be a piece of cake. Sometimes bad things do happen to good people, don't they? We all know that. We probably consider ourselves good people. We're Christians. We try to walk the walk. But sometimes hardships happen. And we talked about four different things. We talked about Job. God just wanted to give Job a perception of who he was. We talked about King David. King David went through punishment because of his sin with Bathsheba. We talked about the Apostle Paul. The Holy Spirit was doing a prevention, a thorn in his side to prevent him from sinning. And then we talked about God's promise. But we do know this, that hardships are going to happen in our lives that have to do with our sanctification process. So here we are, we get saved, we're convicted by the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit continues to take over, and he sanctifies us, he makes us more holy, more Christ-like. Then we get to step number 5. We have salvation, we have sanctification, and we have security. And these are all things that we have talked about over sermon series over the last several months. The Holy Spirit's role in our security. So I want to back up here a second. Salvation, he begins our journey as a believer. He continues our journey as a believer. And security. Let's talk about the verses from this too. In Ephesians chapter 1, verses 13 and 14, it says this, that the Holy Spirit is a deposit guaranteeing our inheritance. He's a deposit and he guarantees our inheritance. He guarantees that we will be eternally secure. That's another one of his jobs. He saves us, he sanctifies us, he makes sure that we are secure. Also, it says this in Philippians chapter 1, verse 6, that he who has begun a good work in us will see it through unto completion. He'll see it through unto completion. So, and he'll see it through, I'll just write the word completion up here. And please excuse my writing. I know it's not good and my spelling might be a little hard to understand. But the Holy Spirit gives us security. He's a deposit. He guarantees our inheritance. And he says this, that the work that has begun in us, he'll see it through to completion. So in the life of a believer, he starts it, he continues it, and he's going to make sure that he sees it all the way through. And for this one, he begins it, he continues it, and this one, I'm going to say, he seals it. The deal is sealed, signed, sealed, and someday we're going to be delivered into the hands of Jesus Christ himself. Compliments of the Holy Spirit himself. So, these are all things that we have talked about over the last probably about 6 months about the Holy Spirit and what he does. So we know that he is a powerful, powerful influence in our lives. I know we talk about the Father, we talk about Jesus Christ the Son very often, but look at what the Spirit does for us. What a lot of work that he does, and we kind of broke each one of them down throughout the weeks as we talked about that. What about up here? What goes on up here? Because as our walk as a believer, it really starts right here. This is the day I was saved, and okay, I understand all this, Mike, but what actually comes before that? Well, what comes before that is this. If you have your bulletin, on the front of the bulletin, I don't know if you've ever noticed this or not, but underneath the picture of our church, I have the word, the truth matters. The Truth Matters. I have that there because that's the name of my ministry, The Truth Matters. If for some reason God ever picks me up and moves me somewhere else, the name of my ministry at that church would be The Truth Matters. That's the name of my ministry. I use those words for one reason. The truth matters. It does. It does matter. On the back of your bulletin, I have these words, and they're there every week. And I have this. It says, nothing matters more than the truth. And the truth is found in the Bible, which is the Word of God. If you're a believer sitting in here today, I guarantee one thing. I guarantee one thing. The words of this book saved your life. Thank you. The words of this book saved your life. They saved my life. They saved your life, and they will save the life of anybody who believes. How did we get this book? How did we get the Bible? Well, we could go into the whole piece of it, but I'm just going to go into the part of it that we talked about in our scripture lesson this morning. We know this from 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16. It says this, and I'm going to call this the inspiration. The inspiration. From 2 Timothy chapter 3, verses 16 and 17, it says this, that all scripture is God-breathed. All scripture, all. Emphasis on all. All scripture is God-breathed. That includes the Old Testament and the New Testament. All scripture is God-breathed and is useful for teaching, training, correcting, and rebuking the man of God so he can do the works that God has made him to do later on in life. We do know this, and I'm going to get back to our scripture lesson from 2 Peter verse 1. It says this, that men spoke from God, and I'm reciting verse 21 from 2 Peter chapter 1. Men spoke from God as they were, the NIV uses the word carried, as they were led by the Holy Spirit. So, men were led by the Holy Spirit. Led, carried by the Holy Spirit. And I'll just put HS, and we know who the HS is. And that does not stand for high school, that stands for the Holy Spirit. They were led by the Holy Spirit. It says this in verse 21, for prophecy never had its origin in the will of man, but men spoke from God as they were carried along by the Holy Spirit. As I said earlier, the Bible, the NIV Bible, uses the word carried along. It's actually the Greek word phero, which means to lead or to bring. So these men who wrote this book, and there's about 40 plus authors of this book, they were carried along by the Holy Spirit to write what they wrote. It also says in that verse this, that prophecy never had its origin in the will of man. Let me show you how important that is. Very, very important that we know that the origin of Scripture never had its origin in the will of man. The writers of all the books of the Bible did not write what they wanted to write to serve their own purpose. Let me repeat that. The writers of the Bible did not write what they wrote here in the Bible to serve their own purpose. God did, however, use their personality and He used their style to accomplish His purpose. The writers of the Bible never had their own purpose. They never had their own agenda. They were led by the Holy Spirit to write what they wrote. So, we're going to see something happening here. We're going to kind of see a circle happening here. And right now we're going to fill in the missing blank number 2 here. But we know this, all Scripture was God-breathed, 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16. And the men were led by the Holy Spirit, 2 Peter chapter 1, verses 20 and 21. Now, what's here? What's step number 2? Somehow we need to connect the inspiration that is in this book by the Holy Spirit to our salvation that happen at some moment in time. And we're going to call this hearing. And this kind of puts it all together. Romans 10, verse 17 says this. Faith comes from what? Hearing. And hearing by the Word of God. The Word. I said it before, I'll say it again. People will want to dispute this fact. Folks, you don't get saved unless you hear the Word of God. You can't go out into the forest and hug a tree and think that you're going to get saved. You get saved by hearing the Word of God. Natural theology does not exist. You can't get there on your own. You must have divine inspiration of some sort. Romans chapter 1, verse 16 says this, the gospel is the power of God. The gospel, I'm going to write just a few key words here. The gospel is the power of God unto salvation for all who believe. We know that we are saved by grace through faith, Ephesians chapter 2, verse 8. So how do we get the faith? Well, if we would go back and read Romans chapter 10, as a matter of fact, I'm going to read that for you real quick because it's very important. Romans chapter 10, starting with verse 14. How then can they call on the one they have not believed in? Because we know that we have to believe in Jesus Christ. So Paul writes this, how can they call on the one they have not believed in? And how can they believe in the one if they have never heard of him? And how can they hear without someone preaching to them? And how can they preach unless somebody is sent? You got to hear the gospel. The gospel, only the gospel in itself, has the power unto salvation for those who believe. And faith comes by hearing that word. And now we're just about finished with our chart, our number two, and we're going to end up with just a couple verses in 1 Corinthians. So how we know that if we're going to get here, we need to have been here. We need to have faith and we need to have heard the gospel. How does that happen? We go to 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 10. Something that's very important. It says this. I'll actually start in verse 9. However, as it is written, no eye has seen and no ear has heard. No mind has conceived what God has prepared for those who love him. Key verse number 10. But God has revealed it to us by his Spirit. It's revealed to us by the Spirit, by the Holy Spirit. Doesn't this right here kind of sound a little bit like this where we're convicted of our guilt? It's revealed to us by the Holy Spirit. There's kind of the circle, and I'm going to go through the circle here in a second, but I just want to add one more point to the hearing. And this is the point that includes you and I. Verse 13 of 1 Corinthians chapter 2 says this. This is what we speak. Not in words taught by human wisdom, but in words taught by the Spirit. I'm going to write this. We teach others. Yes, it's revealed by the Holy Spirit, but guess who God is going to use in order to get that message out to the people, the unbelieving world out there? He's going to use you. He's going to use you. And he's going to use me. And when it comes time for us to share the gospel, share our faith, share what we have inside us, Paul says this in verse 13, that we're not going to speak in words taught by human wisdom, but by words taught by the Spirit. That's what convicts people. The words of God's word right here is what convicts people. I find it sometimes rather difficult to believe that when we teach others, He uses someone like me. Me. That in this whole process that He has set up of salvation, to bring in someone into eternal glory with the Father and with the Son, that somewhere along the line that we have to teach others, that we have to bring the message of salvation to others who don't know that. And He uses old clay pots like me and you to do that. Because faith comes by hearing, and hearing comes from the Word of God. And the gospel message that Jesus Christ is who He says He is, that He is the Son of God, that He was born of a Virgin Mary, and that He died on a cross for our sins, that He was raised from the dead 3 days later, and 40 days after that He ascended into heaven and He's now sitting at the right hand of the Father. That's the gospel. That's what people need to hear. And when people hear that, it has the power for salvation to those who will believe. Back in November, someone kind of come up to me and said, I'd like to know a little bit more about the Holy Spirit. I never thought that on January 24th, 2010, it would end up that I knew all of this about the Holy Spirit. That it starts with an inspiration of a book. And it's called the Bible. And it's infallible. It's the Word of God. It contains truth from cover to cover. And there is nothing inerrant about this book. It is truth as is taught by the Spirit. Yes, the Spirit did move men to write the book. He used their talents, their personality, their words, their thoughts, but He inspired it to write this book that we have in front of us. And now this book goes out and it covers the globe and it covers the world and it brings salvation to those who believe and those who hear that word. Compliments, once again, of the Holy Spirit. Salvation is brought into our lives, once again, compliments of the Holy Spirit, because He convicts us of the guilt and He gives us the rebirth. He starts this journey in our life where we become more Christ-like, where He dwells within us and He walks with us and He might give us some hardships along the way. All compliments of the Holy Spirit. But there will come a day, my friends, when one of us or some of us are not going to be sitting in here anymore, because God is going to decide to take us away. And He's going to take us into eternal glory. Once again, the Holy Spirit promises this, that He is a deposit that's guaranteeing our inheritance. And He says this, that He who has begun a good work in us will see it through unto completion. I didn't realize how much the Holy Spirit had to do with all this stuff until you really dig into God's Word and you search it and you teach it and you learn it for yourself. And I'm certainly blessed that I had the opportunity to share it with each one of you here over the last couple months. All of a sudden on my popularity scale of Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, the Holy Spirit he's kind of raised up her a little bit with all the things that He does in our lives. Yes, we could say it's God, and we would be right in saying that. And I'm not going to get very doctrinal to say, know the Holy Spirit, know Jesus, know the Father. As a friend of mine once told me when I went to visit him in the hospital, Mike, it's all God. It's all God. It's all God. It's all God. If you're connecting the verses in the little part of your bulletin over with the five spaces, I believe I have used them all except for one. And I don't know how keen your eyes are, but there's one that I didn't use. John chapter 6, and there's two verses. Verses 44 and verse 65. Where Jesus says this, "You don't follow me unless the Father has enabled you." You don't follow me unless the Father has allowed all this to happen. Those are the words of Jesus. So, that's our Sunday school lesson for this morning. Class, I don't know what you filled in your blanks, but I pray for this. I pray that we all have learned a little bit more about the Holy Spirit, that He inspires this book, that brings life to those who hear it and who believe it, that we have salvation, that we are now a child of God, that He sanctifies us and makes us more Christ-like into an inheritance that shall never fade, spoil, or perish. That, my friends, is good news. Let's go to God in prayer.